Alrighty, hello again everyone, and welcome to it, another exciting week of podcasting genius. I'm Derek Hunter, I'm your host. It's the 8th day of April 2019, and I did my taxes over the weekend. God. You're welcome, Uncle Sam. You're welcome, deadbeats. I've yet to write the check, but I always postmark that sucker on the 15th. It's dropped in on the 15th because I'm not going to give them, and I do all my work as an independent contractor, so that means that I owe at the end of the year, and I hate writing that damn check. Ugh. Anyway, I'm fighting off a little bit of a throat thing. If it sounds like I'm a little bit froggy today, that is why, but that is not going to stop me from delivering awesomeness. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Please keep doing that. We're coming up a week from tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of the podcast. Can't believe it's been a year, one-year anniversary. Did I say one-week anniversary? It's the one-year anniversary. Like I said, NyQuil, man, NyQuil. So, yeah, let's try and spread the word and celebrate one-year anniversary in style, shall we, please? Email me, as always, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. So much to get to, so many things going on over the weekend. Wouldn't it be nice to have a slow weekend in the news? But that is not our lot in life, and so we must soldier on. Oh, where to start? Okay, I want to talk about Secretary of Homeland Security Christian Nielsen resigning on Sunday. That's the big story of the moment. The media is going to focus on that for a few days. Why was she outed? What happened? What did she do wrong? I'll talk a little bit about that, but there's other stuff there that really just shows how disgusting the left is that I'll get to in a second. But first, the story itself. CBS News version. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Christian. It's Christian. One word, but Christian. Not Christian. Christian Nielsen abruptly resigned Sunday as the president continues to fume over continued illegal border crossings. CBS News first reported Nielsen's impending departure, which Mr. Trump confirmed in a tweet after a 5 p.m. meeting with Nielsen at the White House. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McAleenan will serve as acting DHS Secretary, Mr. Trump announced. Christian Nielsen's tenure as Secretary of Homeland Security was, well, the left is going to call it controversial. Everything is controversial. Anything a Republican does is controversial. If a conservative is around in the zip code, it's a controversial zip code, and there's all sorts of problems that have yet to be addressed. Realistically, she was trying to enforce the law as it is, and that was fought against by liberals and left-wing activists nonstop. That's the real controversy. The real controversy involved in immigration is that we have a party, one of the two major parties in this country, that refuses and doesn't give a damn about enforcing the laws of this country. It's not that they've given up, because they've never really tried. They've changed a political tactic. They used to pay lip service to supporting secure borders. They don't even do that anymore. They're now for open borders. They want come one, come all, bring them all in. What do you got? Let's have them. They see future voters there. Plus, they see a thumb in the eye of the president of the United States. And how sad is it that the Democratic Party would put scoring political points with their base by giving the finger to the president of the United States because he happened to campaign on this issue over the security of the American people. Thousands of Americans have been killed and tens of thousands of Americans have been victims of crime, violent crimes, robberies, identity theft at the hands of illegal aliens. And the Democratic Party says, meh, what are you going to do? Don't really care. We can really stick it to Trump. So let it go. Bring it all in. I don't know what it would take. It would have to take seemingly one of their children or somebody they care about being injured by an illegal alien, and then maybe they would start to care. But even then, I doubt it. They're so pot committed to this idea, to this concept of screwing over Donald Trump that they'll do absolutely anything they have to do it. So to say Christian Nielsen's tenure as Secretary of Homeland Security was controversial is insane. They're going to say it's controversial because, oh, the separation of children from their parents, all these sweet, sweet, nourishing illegal aliens come across the border, and all they want is a better life for themselves, which is not justification for an asylum. By the way, they just want better lives for themselves. They're fleeing economic hardship, which, again, is not justification for asylum under the law at all. They're just ignoring that law, too, and they're saying anybody pretty much who gets here can claim asylum, can seek asylum, and should be granted asylum. They absolutely should not be granted asylum. They should be thrown out immediately, but because of our screwed-up laws, can't do that. Can't do that. Everybody's got to have due process. And the left has an army of lawyers down on the southern border to make sure that everybody knows their rights. And they also have an army of activists down in Central America briefing everybody on their rights, in quotes, when they get to the country. They're coaching them up on how to get past security, how to get released. They tell them to bring children. Whether their children are their children or not, doesn't matter. Just come across the border with a kid. Say that it's your kid and that you're seeking asylum and that you have a credible fear for your life back in your home country and you get to come. Now, that credible fear is supposed to be from your government in order to seek asylum. It can't be my neighbor said he's going to kill me and I've got to get out of Guatemala. Sorry, Guatemala sucks. Deal with it down in Guatemala. But they're coached in. Everybody knows the drill. They're let go. The catch and release. The pinky swear that in 16 months or 2 years, they'll come out and they'll absolutely, totally show up to court to have their hearing. And then they don't. They just don't. Everything about this is a lie. And to call Christian Nielsen's tenure as Secretary of Homeland Security controversial is a lie. She did not start the program of child separation. That was happening under the Obama administration. All those pictures of the kids in the cages and got all liberals all weepy and sad and disgusted and despondent were from 2014. Yet they don't talk about that. Barack Obama got a free pass because he was on their team. He was their team captain. He can do whatever the hell he wants. So as Christian Nielsen goes, I don't have a problem with her going. I don't believe she did absolutely everything necessary to secure the border. For some reason, she seemed hesitant. Maybe those orders came from above. Who knows? We'll see with a new Homeland Security Secretary in there. But I feel as though there was a lot more that she could have done to secure the border and fought a little bit harder. She was really kind of dispassionate. She was on with Tucker this week, and I found her to be unimpressive this time around. In the past, I thought she was good. This time, maybe her heart wasn't in it. Maybe she thought she saw the writing on the wall. She was on her way out the door, whatever. But she's gone. She's going to stick around until the 10th, which is Wednesday, and then she's gone to help with the transition. That being said, once she's gone, she's going to find something else to do. And the left, being the left, is going to do all they can to make sure that she can't do much of anything. This is how fascistic the left is. Bloomberg News, headline, immigration groups ask Fortune 500 CEOs to blacklist Trump aides. This is written by Jennifer Epstein. She's an activist for the left with a press credential. Immigration and civil rights groups are urging companies not to hire senior Trump administration officials who are involved in planning, carrying out, or defending the separation of migrant children from their parents. Migrant children, illegal aliens, but they'll never call them that. Quote, they should not be allowed to seek refuge in your boardrooms or corner offices, according to an open letter signed by 41 groups, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, which just lost its leadership because of sexism and racism. Isn't that lovely? Allowing them to step off the revolving door into your welcoming arms should be a non-starter. The letter, which is being released on Friday, will be sent to chief executive officers of all Fortune 500 companies, according to organizers. The approach marks a shift in strategy by opponents of President Donald Trump's policies that resulted in migrant children being separated from their undocumented parents at the U.S.-Mexico border. Until now, groups have focused on campaigning against the administration's actions or staging protests directed at public officials. The letter singles out 30 current and former officials, including John Kelly, Christian Nielsen, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Also on the list are lesser-known officials, goes through blah, blah, blah. The groups signing the letter, which include the National Immigration Law Center, Races, and America's Voices, called on companies to, quote, make it clear that you will not hire for employment, contract for, consulting, or seat on your boards anyone involved in Trump's family separation policy. The letter's release is timed to the April 6th anniversary of former Attorney General Jeff Sessions' announcement of the zero-tolerance enforcement policy that led to the separation of more than 2,000 migrant children from their parents. This is what they do. This is why I say, mention Ronald Reagan to some fascistic lefty, some radical progressive lefty activist. Mention it. And see what their reaction is. They go into a Tourette's rage. They blast. They freak out. They curse the day that he ever was born. They cannot stand that he existed. The left fights to win. They fight dirty. And as long as they're going to fight dirty, the right has to fight dirty. We should be defending these people. Any company that actively acknowledges that they will not hire any Republican because of pressure from these left-wing fascists should be shunned, should be boycotted, plain and simple. But this is how the left works. Okay, you're no longer in power. Well, we're still going to go after you. We're going to go after you for the rest of your life. Try and have Condoleezza Rice come and speak at your college's commencement. Try and have Condoleezza Rice try and speak at your college and see how that goes. These little Nazis will not stand for it. They do not want conservatives existing. And we're going to have to give them a dose of their own damn medicine if this, because there's nobody on the left going to stand up and say, hey, wait a second. They're doing their job. You don't like the way they do their job. You don't like who they do their job for. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They're gone. They're done. Leave them alone. Nancy Pelosi isn't going to do that. Chuck Schumer isn't going to do that. Maybe they'll give passing lip service to a moment. Well, you know, I don't really support that. I think that's wrong. And then move on. But just like their quote unquote condemnation of anti-Semitism and then quickly ignoring it, they don't really mean it. They don't give a damn. They move on. They like to see their army of flying monkeys attacking conservatives in and out of public office. Remember when Christian Nielsen was chased out of a restaurant for the crime of trying to have a meal? Not allowed to do that. You can't eat at a Mexican restaurant when you're enforcing the laws of this country. These people have to be crushed. There is no two ways about it. There is no going along to get along. There is no making nice with anybody. There is straight up defeat and crushing them. And it's about time some people on our side dropped their balls from their stomachs and started acting like adults and recognize that we're in a war and we're going to have to fight like we're in a war until there is unconditional surrender. So while I'm not particularly sad to see Christian Nielsen go, whatever she does next is completely and totally irrelevant, and she should absolutely 100% be free to do it. But the left is never, ever going to let her go. They're not going to let Sarah Huckabee Sanders go. They're not going to let Donald Trump go. They're not going to let anybody named Trump go. In 10 years, when Donald Trump is a former president, and whoever else is in the Oval Office, there will still be people trying to actively ruin his businesses, protesting him wherever he goes, and protesting outside of any building that he owns. They have to be destroyed. They can't be reasoned with. They have to be done away with. And that's really all there is to it. They're going to destroy the country. They really will destroy the country. They're already trying to tear this country apart in every conceivable way. Every way they can think of to divide people. It's kind of, it makes me sick. It used to make me laugh when Democrats would say, well, Republicans, Donald Trump, they're tearing the country apart. They're trying to divide us. And then they talk about the people with money compared to the people without money. The people of this race against this people of this race in the country is fundamentally unfair. The people of this gender versus the people of that gender, the transgender, this, that, and the other thing. Every single way you can divide people, that is what the Democratic Party does. And they do so to emotionally manipulate people. It's much easier to manipulate people if you've got them convinced that there's some nebulous force out there to get them. And we saw an example of this last week. The end of last week, the Democrats all did a conga line to New York City to kiss the ring of Al Sharpton, the all-time Hall of Fame race baiter in this country. And he's out there going, oh, you know, we've got to. They all had them all come out there and talk about race issues to them. And what they ultimately did, and this is a little montage, every Democratic candidate now is in favor of reparations. It's sick. It's sad. It's absolutely real. Here's a little montage of a few of them.
Congress should convene a study on the best way to provide reparations.
If you elected president, would you sign that bill if it came across your desk?
When I am elected president, I will sign that bill.
The issue of reparations. This is a conversation that is long overdue. So I want to let you know where I stand. I firmly support Congresswoman Jackson Lee's bill to create a commission to study reparations.
If you are elected president and such a bill was passed, would you sign the bill for reparations?
Yes, I would. I already support that bill. Go H.R. 40.
These are the lengths to which the Democratic Party will go to pander on race. Yes, we need to do this. We need to make sure that we have reparations. We got to study this, the best way to do it. We have to find out the best way to pay people who didn't go through anything for something that somebody related to them 5, 6, 10 generations ago might have gone through. And we're going to have to take money from people who didn't do anything. You got to remember, there are very few people in this country who own slaves. Slavery was awful, obviously, but very few people owned slaves. We fought a war to end slavery. And what do? You crap all over the graves of those Union soldiers who fought to preserve this Union and to end slavery by pandering on race. It's so pathetic. It is so transparent. And of course, they were all greeted. Al Sharpton wanted to know. Al Sharpton, hopefully Al Sharpton is thinking, I assume he's hoping that his reparations check will be big enough to pay off his IRS debt so he doesn't have to pony up. But still, he'll find a way to dodge on that as well. This is what you get when you vote for a Democrat, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a look at Chicago. Remember the Jussie Smollett case? The attorney there, the district attorney, Kim Fox, she had a rally. There was an event in support of her, led by Jesse Jackson, of course, because Jesse isn't going to let some good chance at publicity go by. He's almost irrelevant at this point. Well, he got together a group of left-wing activists and a congressman, Bobby Rush, out of Chicago. I would think that there are enough problems in Chicago that they'd have other things to worry about, but no. They all rallied to protect Kim Fox. And what did they do? Listen to Congressman Bobby Rush talk about the police. Now, Bobby Rush, I think he's had a couple of strokes. If he hasn't had a couple of strokes, he sounds like he's had a couple of strokes. Listen to Congressman Bobby Rush talk about Kim Fox and, well, not talk about Kim Fox, at the Kim Fox rally with her sitting right there, the chief prosecutor in the city of Chicago, talking about the police. Listen, it's hard to understand him a little bit. He repeats it twice. Listen to him.
The FOC is a small enemy of black people. The sworn enemy of black people.
Did you hear that? The FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, are the sworn enemy of black people. The Fraternal Order of Police are the sworn enemy of black people. It is not the Fraternal Order of Police who are murdering hundreds of people on the south side of Chicago every year. It is not the police. Who do you think it is? It's people in the community. That's who Bobby Rush, congressman, is sticking up for. No, it's the police who are the enemy. You know, the vast majority, they have like a 15% clearance rate, meaning 15% of the murders in Chicago are solved. It's incredibly low. It's embarrassingly low. Part of the reason for that, the main reason for that, is the attitude that Bobby Rush is right there spreading. The congressman is spreading. People won't talk to the police. People will not cooperate with the police. You know what happens when somebody gets killed? They kill a rival drug dealer or gang member. You know what happens then? And you don't go to the police and the people aren't arrested? They say, well, we'll take care of it ourselves. We'll handle this ourselves. And that means somebody else gets murdered. I personally couldn't care less about drug dealers murdering other drug dealers. The problem is that they have horrible aim and they end up shooting innocent kids in the crossfire, in the background. You're not dealing with rational human beings who value human life, who say, no, no, don't shoot into that crowd because this guy who stepped to you is in that crowd, but there are other people who might get hurt who are innocent. No, no. They say shoot at the crowd and try to hit that guy. But if you don't, maybe you'll get somebody else. There's no love lost. There's no sleep lost. There's no guilt feeling about that. Hundreds of murders a year in Chicago, and a congressman from there says that the Fraternal Order of Police are the sworn enemy of black people. How many people do you think are going to go and cooperate with the police in a murder investigation after hearing that? After being just marinated in that attitude, how many people do you think are going to do it? None? Less than none? They also had a community activist named Jamal Green. Now, these are all people who came together to speak in support of Kim Fox. Kim Fox was there. She did not denounce any of this. Listen to what Jamal Green calls the police.
Kim Fox took office, and she made good on those promises. And that is why we're here today, and we have all white men, FOP, up looking like the Ku Klux Klan to us, all in uniform, coming out against the first black woman state's attorney.
Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan. They're the Ku Klux Klan, and they're coming out against the first black state's attorney. Oh, they're just so mean, these evil, evil white people. This is the woman who allegedly recused herself, but then didn't really recuse herself and decided to drop the charges against Jussie Smollett. The police were rightly pissed off about that, and they criticized her. They're calling for an investigation because Jussie Smollett is incredibly connected in the power structure, not only in Chicago, but in the Democratic Party. He's personal friends with Oprah. He's personal friends with Michelle Obama. He's personal friends with Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. He's personal friends with all of these people in power who can pick up the phone and call Kim Fox and say, hey, you know, if you want to run for office in the future, I'd be more than happy to do a fundraiser for you. I'd be more than happy to help you out any way I possibly can. And so she dropped the charges. She dropped the charges saying she thought he was guilty, but this is alternative prosecution, which there's no such thing as alternative prosecution. You cut a deal if somebody pleads guilty to something, absolutely. But that's not how this worked. It was completely different for good old connected Jussie Smollett. And so Jesse Jackson has this rally to support Kim Fox because the FBI, the Justice Department, looking into this kind of sweetheart deal. And it's kind of weird how Jesse Jackson and Congressman Bobby Rush and community activist Jamal Green all spoke and said these racist things against the police. And Kim Fox didn't say boo. She actually kind of made herself out to be a victim of racism herself. The mayor of Chicago is a black woman, just elected. But why let the facts stand in the way of a good narrative? If you want to know why there is only a 15% clearance rate in the city of Chicago, if you want to know why so many young black men are murdered every year in Chicago, look no further than Jesse Jackson's desperation attempt to be relevant in the modern Democratic Party. He stood by and let this happen. He participated in it. And nobody's going to talk to the police. Jesse Jackson is helping build, foster, fertilize, because that's the right word for it, fertilize the attitude that the police are the enemy of black people. Why would anybody cooperate with police when the respected community leader like Jesse Jackson is telling you essentially don't cooperate with police? Cooperating with police is akin to cooperating with the Ku Klux Klan. More black men have to die so that Kim Fox's career and political future can be protected. And it's all for Jussie Smollett, a very rich man who wouldn't go anywhere near these neighborhoods. Wouldn't. Just wouldn't. It's the biggest fraud and the most damage you can possibly do to people. And it's being done by so-called leaders, their congressman, Jesse Jackson, this community activist. They're sitting there spreading fear, spreading lies, and driving a wedge further between the community and the police, all in the name of politics. It is sickening. It is disgusting. It is obscene and absurd. It's not that surprising, though, but it really is disgusting. But you know what you won't hear from any Democrat about this? Any condemnation of this rhetoric. Any condemnation of this attitude. Not one single Democrat will call them out. I guarantee you this will not be broadcast on your nightly news. This will not make your local paper. This won't make the New York Times or the Washington Post. This won't go anywhere. You'll hear it on talk radio. You'll hear it on some conservative podcasts who happen to pay attention to this. That'll be about it. It'll be done. It'll be forgotten, except for by the people it's directed towards. It's directed towards the people of Chicago, the people on the south side of Chicago, saying, don't be pissed off at Kim Fox. You know your place. You learn your place. Don't you dare talk to the police. You talk to the police and you're going against not only Kim Fox, but you're going against Jesse Jackson. You're going against your Congressman Bobby Rush. You're going against community activists. You're going against your community, your people. These liberals always love to say, they're going against your people. All right, well, how many more dead bodies will it take for you to care? How many more dead bodies will it take for you to pay attention to what's going on in Chicago? They don't want you paying attention to what's going on in Chicago. They don't give a damn about the dead bodies in Chicago. They're not going to vote anyway, so what does it matter? Besides, they've got the vote rigged in Chicago. Who cares? It doesn't count. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Shut up and learn your place. You can't let people, if the people in Chicago started rising up against their elected politicians, if the people in Baltimore started rising up against their elected politicians who treat them like this, who abuse them like this, who neglect them like this, then what would happen? The Democratic Party would be scared to death. The Democratic Party might have to actually address things. They might have to actually try and be sane and fix problems and police. But you've got two tracks in the left on the Democratic Party. One is the police are racists and horrible people. And the other is we need fewer people in prison. Well, in Chicago, quite frankly, they need more people in prison. There's a huge problem in Chicago, not just with the murders, but with the shootings. There are thousands of unsolved shootings every year in the city of Chicago. Thankfully, the people of Chicago who are inclined to try and kill somebody also have horrible aim and miss everybody. Or don't kill people, but still do shoot people. All of those people deserve to be in prison. They need to be in prison. And you now have a political party actively campaigning to make sure that they don't go to prison. And to make sure that nobody cooperates with police. It's sickening. It is absolutely sickening. And keep in mind, by the way, that these are the Democrats. The Democrats always say this constantly. It's time we had a serious discussion in this country about race. Do you think those clips that I played you, do you think Jesse Jackson, do you think Kim Fox, do you think that they're ready for a serious discussion about race? Do you really think they want to have a serious discussion about race? No. They don't. A serious discussion about race would expose them as the race hustlers that they are. But they can't pretend that they won't talk about it, or else somebody might say, hey, wait a second, why don't we talk about this? They sit around and say, we need to have a serious discussion about race, and then continually call anybody who tries to engage in a serious discussion about race as a racist. And threaten, stay away from them. Don't talk to that person. Don't listen to that person. They're a racist. Don't talk to the police. They're racist. Everybody's out to get you. Don't worry. We'll protect you. We're looking out for you. We're the Democrats. Well, that's worked out really horribly. Really, really horribly. Yet they still perpetuate it with the help of the media, because the media doesn't actually care about dead black people. You want to talk about race, you got to start a conversation right there. They don't bother covering it unless the person who killed them is a white person. If an illegal alien kills a black person, not a story. If a black person kills a black person, who cares? That is 99% of the dead black people in this country. It's the 1%, less than 1% probably, especially if it's a police officer, way less than 1%. We're talking maybe teens. It's suddenly a national story and indicative of a huge problem in this country, and we need to have a serious discussion about race, because it's the Ku Klux Klan and the police are the sworn enemy of black people. Yeah. Unfortunately, this problem can only be solved internally. And right there, you've got Al Sharpton, you've got Jesse Jackson, you've got community activists, you've got elected politicians. These are the people who should be leading this fight, and instead, they're leading the charge to keep this fight going, to keep this from ever happening, to keep this discussion from ever coming about. They need body count to maintain power. Because they've set up the idea that somehow it is the Republicans, it is the evil white man who's causing all these problems. It's been, 50 years, 100 years? Sooner or later, somebody's got to wise up. Sooner or later, some politician you would think would say, enough. We cannot keep having this. We have to get real about what's going on. But they're not willing to do it because they want to win power. They want more power. That's all they give a crap about. It's disgusting. And what would they do with that power? Well, Elizabeth Warren gave a little preview of that. Elizabeth Warren is a United States senator. She's also a member of the white women who pretend to be Native American tribe, full-blooded, not one 1,024th. She went and kissed the ring of Al Sharpton at the National Action Network conference, and she came out against the filibuster. I'm going to play, it's kind of a long clip, but it is so full of revisionist history and so full of garbage. I hope you're wearing hip boots, because it's about to get pretty thick in here. Listen to what Elizabeth Warren describes happening. This is what the Democrats are doing now. This is what the Democrats did under President George W. Bush. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of nominees for positions. The one thing about the Democrats have been pretty masterful about handicapping the Trump administration through the use of the rules of the Senate. They have with all the investigations, they've kneecapped the Trump administration, but they've also prevented the president from appointing people, getting people appointed, getting people confirmed to positions, not the high ones. They always make sure that the secretaries get appointed. I'm talking about the undersecretaries and the deputy undersecretaries. There are thousands of positions that an administration fills with political appointees. The Democrats in the United States Senate have done everything humanly possible to make sure that those positions do not get filled. You know who's filling a lot of those positions? Obama administration political appointees who have stayed on until their replacement comes along. You know how you sit there and you say, all this information is being leaked. There are incredible leaks from all throughout the Trump administration. That's because there is an inordinate number of people who, if we had a decent human being majority in the United States Senate, would not be there anymore. They run blockade. They use every trick in the book to delay and deny. And the reason, for another example, because she talks about the filibuster, when it comes to legislation, the reason we don't have movement on securing our southern border is because Democrats filibustered building a wall. They refused to support it. They blocked it. They're not a majority, but they blocked it thanks to the filibuster. Elizabeth Warren is showing the Democrats' hand here. These people are the least Democratic people on the face of the earth. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. They want to ignore the laws that we have that are duly passed by Congress. They want the president, when he's a Democrat, to sign executive orders ignoring laws. And now Senator Warren comes out in favor of getting rid of the filibuster in the United States Senate, which would be an absolute and total and complete disaster. But listen, keep in mind, everything you are about to hear from Elizabeth Warren is true, but it's true about Democrats.
For generations, the filibuster was used as a tool to block progress on racial justice. And in recent years, it's been used by the far right as a tool to block progress on everything. I've only served one term in the Senate, but I've seen what's happened. We all saw what they did to President Obama. I've watched the Republicans abuse the rules when they're out of power and then turn around and blow off the rules when they're in power. We saw it happen again just this week. Republicans spent years exploiting the rules to slow down or block President Obama's mainstream judges and executive nominees. But now that they're in power, they are unilaterally changing those rules to speed them up and run through President Trump's extremist nominees. So let me be as clear as I can about this. When Democrats next have power, we should be bold. We are done with two sets of rules, one for the Republicans and one for the Democrats. And that means when the Democrats have the White House again, if Mitch McConnell tries to do what he did to President Obama and put small-minded partisanship ahead of solving the massive problems in this country, then we should get rid of the filibuster.
And the audience applauds wildly. We should get rid of the filibuster. Yes, let's get rid of the filibuster. Let's turn the United States Senate into the House of Representatives Part 2. And then you're going to have massive swings of policy every time the party switches. She goes on to say, we can't let the rich and powerful, blah, blah, blah. They have to pay their fair share. We can't wait 100 years for action on climate change. Democrats are, they really need to get Democrat out of their name. They should just be the fascist party. There's nothing democratic about them. They don't care for democracy. They don't support democracy. When they don't get their way, they sue. They change the rules. They cheat and lie. Oh, Republicans are abusing the rules. The rules are there. The rules have been there. The rules were there when George W. Bush was president. The Democrats have been exploiting the rules in the Senate when Donald Trump was president. The last time there was a major rule change was when Harry Reid got sick of it and said, to hell with it, we're going to pack the court, and got rid of the filibuster for judicial nominees, something everybody, every Republican and some liberal journalists said, you know what, you might not like that so much if there's a Republican president. But Democrats really thought that there was going to be a Democratic president forever. They really just never considered the possibility. If you remember, after George W. Bush left office and Barack Obama won in 2008, you can go and look this up on the internet. There were all these stories about, well, the Republicans, they're just a regional party. Democrats control the House, the Senate. They have a supermajority in the Senate. Barack Obama just swept the country. All Republicans have left. They were run out of New England. All Republicans have left is the South and parts of the North. And that's it. Little patches here and there. Otherwise, it's the Democrats who are there was the autopsy and it was editorials. They've done this every time. Actually, I did a research thing when I was at Americans for Tax Reform about when Republicans lose the election. They did it in 92. Is this the end of the Republican Party? The Republican Party needs to reboot. This is it. Autopsy time. The Republican Party has to change. They're on the way out. Well, 2 years into Barack Obama's administration, Republicans swept to a historic victory in the House. Massive victory. It seems that the death of the Republican Party was a little bit overstated. But still, they thought there's no way anybody is going to be able to beat Hillary Clinton. She was the presumptive nominee starting the day after the 2008 election. They thought they had the White House for 16 solid years. They thought, and they still think, that the American people are with them overwhelmingly. So they don't care about changing the rules. They didn't think about the consequences when Harry Reid changed the filibuster rules to pack the lower courts with liberal judges. They were happy to do it, and then suddenly it bit them in the ass. And now they're crying foul. This is an outrage. Those Republicans changed the rules. Yes, they did. They changed the rules on Supreme Court nominees because that was the only place that Harry Reid hadn't changed the rules, because when Harry Reid was majority leader, there was no Supreme Court nominee that was being filibustered. Of course, they don't mention the fact that Supreme Court nominees, you know, were traditionally not filibustered. They just gloss over that. And they broke those rules and those precedences by filibustering Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominees. They're raging hypocrites and they're power mad. They know the rules and they know they can't win. They can't win the support of enough Americans to impose their will. So they're trying to change the rules. It's rare that they're out there just blatantly saying, I'm going to change the rules so I can ram through my agenda. But that's where they are. That's who they are. And that's exactly why they cannot be allowed in power. This is why it's so important that we defeat these people on every single level. And don't forget, after 2020, that's the year that they do the census. And the census decides and determines how congressional lines are drawn. The Democrats have a massive infrastructure set up to redraw congressional lines to favor them. They would do anything to get Republicans out of existence, to destroy them. We have to do it first. I feel like I'm talking a lot about destruction, but I can't impress upon people enough the importance of defeating these people. Not just beating them, defeating them, destroying them, humiliating them, driving them from the public square, not with violence, but by standing up to them in the ballot booth, voting them out. I feel like I want to swear, but I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Just getting rid of the filibuster would be a massive disaster. Right now, you know, President Trump supports getting rid of the filibuster. And you would think, and I understand the thought, oh, well, then we could get this, we could get that, we could get the other thing, we could get a wall. Republicans would find a way to screw that up, first of all. But secondly, once Democrats get control, then imagine them with a simple majority in the United States Senate going through and saying, and just imposing their will on everything. Here's a massive carbon tax. Here is a mandate that you have to get rid of your car. You have to retrofit your house to be green enough. You can get screwed over six ways from Sunday with a government without any checks on itself. So you shouldn't get rid of the filibuster. Do I think that the Democrats will get rid of it eventually? Possibly. Yes. I think it will cost them. I think it'll cost them in the long run because they will impose things that are wildly unpopular that Republicans can then repeal. But I don't think they'd let any, I think they'd kill their own grandmothers to get their political agenda through. I really honestly do. They're that sick of people and they need to be called out and they need to be beaten. A shining example of this is Adam Schiff for Brains. Adam Schiff is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee in a fit of irony. He is one of the biggest leakers to the media in the country, in the history of the country. He is entrusted with our national security secrets by Democrats, and yet he is willing to leak anything if he thinks it will harm the president of the United States. He was on with Jake Tapper yesterday. Spreading lies again about the president. One of the lies I talked about last week, I think it was Friday. If not Friday, it was Thursday, with Beto O'Rourke saying, the president called people seeking asylum animals. When I played you the audio, and he was clearly talking about members of MS-13 with sheriffs, that clipped bit of video went viral over the weekend, and a whole bunch of journalists, you would think journalists would understand context and would remember this or go, hey, wait a second, that seems weird that I didn't know that this happened 6 months ago and now I'm only hearing about it for the first time. But they've been spreading this lie again online over the weekend that Donald Trump called asylum seekers just poor, sweet women and children, the sweet, sweet, nourishing, noble, illegal alien. He called them animals. And you don't call people animals. You call people who decapitate their murder victims animals. You absolutely do. And that is what MS-13 does. Yet, no, all the Democrats were saying he was calling all asylum seekers animals. They lied to you. They're lying to people who don't know any better. You know better. Now you've got this latest lie that is, it comes around full circle. They've been using this one for a while. Let's let Adam Schiff for Brains tell it himself.
You just heard what President Trump said yesterday about your party, the Democrats, at the Republican Jewish Coalition Convention in Las Vegas. You're one of the highest ranking Jewish members of Congress. What's your response?
Well, I hate to even dignify those remarks, but look, it's not the Democratic Party that believes that there are good people on both sides of a Nazi rally. There's just one party and one party leader who believes that, and that's Donald Trump.
Yes, the Democrats' favorite lie that Donald Trump said that there are good people at that Nazi rally as well. I'll play you what the president actually said back then in a second, but Jake Tapper comes back around and asks Adam Schiff for Brains about, you know, the anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party, which Adam Schiff just kind of says, yeah, you know, it's bad. I don't really like that. But the real problem is Donald Trump. Yes, Donald Trump is the real anti-Semite, what with the Orthodox Jewish daughter and son-in-law who are his top advisors, what with the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, what with the recognizing of the Golan Heights as being part of Israel. Yes, if Donald Trump is an anti-Semite, he's really, really bad at it. He doesn't understand how it works. He's awful at being an anti-Semite, yet that is the regular mantra from the left. Jake Tapper, by the way, should know better about what the president said after Charlottesville. He doesn't push back very much. He doesn't push back at all, actually, on that. But let's listen to Adam Schiff, because he makes the same point about Charlottesville all over again.
But Congressman, are you concerned at all about some of the rhetoric that has been expressed by Democratic members of Congress and their support for the BDS movement to boycott Israel? Does this not concern you at all?
I certainly don't support the BDS movement. And yes, there are isolated comments by members of our caucus that I have strongly condemned as being anti-Semitic. But it's one thing when you have a few members who make comments, and it's another when the president of the United States makes comments like he did in Charlottesville or about Charlottesville.
Yes, I'm very concerned about isolated instances. There's a pattern of instances, actually a pattern that predates her election to Congress from Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, both of whom have long-time rabid anti-Semitism and long-time ties to rabid anti-Semites. And I'm very concerned. They're very isolated. Yeah. The party could not condemn anti-Semitism. They had to condemn all hate. Well, all hate is bad, and don't hate Jews, too. That was kind of their condemnation of anti-Semitism. But no, he's very, very concerned. He's going to lose sleep over it tonight. You can tell, by the way, he doesn't give a damn about this. But let's get back to the Charlottesville comments. Remember Charlottesville. Everybody remembers Charlottesville. There's no point in rehashing what had happened that day. The woman was killed, run over by a car. That guy's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, as he should. But there were riots down there. They were protesting originally the removal of statues from the public square. Remember when that was all the rage, when that was the most important thing in the world? And now that we've gotten rid of the Confederate statues and monuments, peace has broken out everywhere, right? I remember when Baltimore got rid of their four statues. They just disappeared one night. The mayor ordered them removed. The mayor, by the way, who's on a leave of absence for being completely corrupt, but she's allegedly on a leave of absence trying to recover from pneumonia. Never heard of a mayor taking a leave of absence. But Baltimore, one day you woke up and the four statues that were so offensive were gone. And you know what happened? People were still murdered at an enormously high rate. It's like, okay, you're focusing your energy on getting rid of statues. Congratulations. That's not solving any problems. But Democrats acted as though it was somehow solving problems. Now that we've gotten rid of this problem, the statues that came to life at night and went around and murdered people, now that they're gone and being melted down, surely we'll have peace in our time. That, of course, is not happening. Did not happen. Didn't happen anywhere. Well, the rally in Charlottesville was a bunch of idiots protesting, mostly idiots. There were some people there who were just protesting the statues. But for my money, if you show up and people start chanting, Jews will not divide us or Jews will not replace us or whatever the hell they were, once it becomes clear that the people, even if they're marching with you, are racist piles of human garbage, you go home. You go, you know what? This ain't for me. Just like, you know, if you're out there protesting against whatever liberal cause and then they start chanting that, what do we want, dead cops? When do we want it now? You kind of go, all right, you know, I'm here to protest for universal health care or whatever, but that's not cool. I'm leaving. I'm here for the women's rights, and now they're chanting that they want dead cops. So I'm gonna check out. I'm going to go home. So if you stick around, you're kind of passively going, I'm going to ignore that. Well, let's listen to what Donald Trump actually said after Charlottesville and tell me if there is any ambiguity in what the president is saying here, because if there is, I missed it completely.
To anyone who acted criminally in this weekend's racist violence, you will be held fully accountable. Justice will be delivered. As I said on Saturday, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America. And as I have said many times before, no matter the color of our skin, we all live under the same laws. We all salute the same great flag. And we are all made by the same Almighty God. We must love each other, show affection for each other, and unite together in condemnation of hatred, bigotry, and violence. We must rediscover the bonds of love and loyalty that bring us together as Americans. Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. We are a nation founded on the truth that all of us are created equal, We are equal in the eyes of our Creator. We are equal under the law, and we are equal under our Constitution. Those who spread violence in the name of bigotry strike at the very core of America.
How many times have you heard a Democrat say that the president refuses to condemn racism, that the president refuses to condemn white supremacy? How many times have you heard that? And how many times have you heard that clip that I just played for you? I bet you heard the former a hell of a lot more often than you heard the latter. There's a reason for that. Democrats have to lie. They have to in order to manipulate people. So when Adam Schiff goes on CNN and says, well, this president is a horrible racist and he won't condemn racism. He's in favor. He's happy with what happened down in Charlottesville. You just heard the president unambiguously condemn it. Racism in all its forms. White supremacy. The KKK. He named them. Has any Democrat ever said, well, you know what, the president did condemn? No, they didn't. They ignore that statement. They ignore that statement because they have to. In order to manipulate people emotionally, you have to ignore reality. So Donald Trump is a horrible anti-Semite, even though he's, you know, been the best president we perhaps have ever had when it comes to Israel. And Donald Trump is a white supremacist sympathizer. He won't even condemn it. He's a racist white supremacist himself. You just heard it right there. Your own ears. You're going to believe the Democrats, or you're going to believe your lying ears. This is how sick and sad these people are. And Jake Tapper knows this, but Jake Tapper's on the team. So Jake Tapper lets Adam Schiff get away with it. Oh, it's so disgusting. All right, finally today, Barack Obama returned to the scene of politics. And I'm going to lighten it up a little bit because I did another song compilation. He was over in Germany for something having to do with the Obama Foundation, which is just, again, a massive tax dodge. It's a complete and total fraud. They learned it from the Clintons. This is how it works now. Everybody forms a foundation that collects money, and they give their money to so they can get the huge tax write-off and still live off that money. And during this, he had a little bit of a town hall thing over there in Germany. It was allegedly about community leadership and civic engagement. I hope you stuck around long enough because I spent some time putting this together. The people over at Grabian, the media clip site, it's hilarious. They counted up Barack Obama's, how many times he referred to himself. And it's a new record. He referred to himself, and I'm not making this up, it was a 90-minute town hall. He referred to himself 392 times. Not kidding. They put together a video montage of all of them, but it's like 5 minutes long. I didn't do that. I set it to a song by the Beatles and just highlighted some of the good ones. But for the record, he said I 274 times. Me 25 times. My 31 times. I'd 9 times. I'm 41 times. Myself 7 times, and Obama 5 times. This more than doubles, actually, the previous record of times that Barack Obama has referred to himself. Back in September 2016, they have a nice little compilation of it. The old record was 171 times in a town hall. Barack Obama, maybe he's gotten back into game shape. But anyway, rather than play you just clips of Barack Obama talking about himself, because Lord knows there are enough of those out there on the internet, I set it to a Beatles song called I, Me, Mine, which I think is horribly, horribly appropriate considering how narcissistic this man is.
President Barack Obama.
Now, it's been over 10 years since I spoke to a slightly larger crowd. I was elected to my office, and I'd say, when I helped, I was the first.
All through the night.
Am I correct? I before I came out, that I had, when I was, I wanted.
Now the frightened are leaving it, everyone's weaving it, coming on strong all the time. All through the day.
I should be asking you, I'll make more like me and less like me. You know, my father's, and the reason I say that, but I guess what I think, but I'm not the only one. I was a pretty busy guy, I gotta say. And I knew that I wanted to catch up on my sleep. I can't, I think, I would also say, so I think it's, yeah.
I'm,
I ask myself, all right, I can do that I care deeply about, I believe. But I'm assuming, I always, I think, I'm the... I ask myself, all right, I can do that I care deeply about, But I worked out every morning. I mean, I was pretty religious about it. I was in the gym, and if I did not have a workout, I was going to be cranky. It almost didn't matter what I was doing. I did not read about myself. I did not watch TV about myself. Whatever the news was saying about me, I already knew. I was there. I think this side needs a little attention. What I used to call the world as it is. I've been there. No, I get it. I know you won't listen to me more than 10 minutes. I'm only half joking on that one. I was in a meeting and I said, you know, I'm the new young president. If I did not have a workout, I was going to be cranky.
If I didn't have a workout, I was going to be cranky. I, me. If you watch the whole video, it's like 5 minutes long, and they literally took every time he said I, every time he referred to himself, and just strung it together. 90 minutes of Q&A with Germans, and it's 5 minutes of him, I, me. You can say what you want about Donald Trump and how arrogant he is, but the crown still rests firmly on the head of the narcissism king. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you thought of the show. Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
I did not read about myself. I did not watch TV about myself. Whatever the news was saying about me, I already knew. I was there.